Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you. And we continue to hold you in the light.
So this is the end of the hero's journey to awakening, at least the series anyway. We'll be continuing this journey on our own. But the last part, if you're just joining us, we've done 7 weeks on the different aspects of the archetypes that Dr. Carl Jung introduced. And there are 12 of them total. We've only gotten through, I think, about six. But today is going to be kind of a wrap-up of this the series in terms of the process that is bringing us through. I just want to open with this statement that I've heard in a TV show, and I'm not sure which one it was, but it said the two most important moments of your life are the day that you are born and the day you discover why. I thought that was pretty deep. Like I said, I don't remember the TV show, but I keep a pad next to the TV for all of these pearls of wisdom that pop up every now and then. Right? So the theme of this final lesson in the Hero's Journey series can be summed up in the Psalm, 23rd Psalm, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay. So this whole series has been about taking our journey as heroes and heroines on how the journey often takes us through this process of the valley of the shadow of death. Okay. So the valley of the shadow of death is that place I talked about last week. Last week we went through a lot of this idea about the alienated parts of ourselves. And it's where, you know, we have exiled those parts of ourselves that we fear, that we struggle with, we're ashamed of, or that we just cannot forgive. That's the process of going through the valley of the shadow of death. Okay. So the hero's journey is about facing our shadow self, which is also another Jungian term, if you study Carl Jung. But facing our shadow self and embracing it until we are no longer afraid or embarrassed or have feelings of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a large part of the hero's journey to awakening to one's true self. And a lot of that forgiveness, of course, has to do with forgiving ourselves, all right? It's about forgiving ourselves and others whom we have alienated through unforgiveness. Now, Charles Fillmore, one of the founders of Unity, explains in his book, Jesus Christ Heals, if anyone tries to free himself while holding on to thoughts of unforgiveness, he will not experience his own freedom. No one can rise unless he lifts others with him in thought. And if we go to Matthew 5, 22, 26, Jesus expressed, but I say to you, if anyone who is angry with his brother or sister, he shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister shall be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled, and then come back and offer your gift. Right, so there's a whole lot of in here about this idea of the importance of forgiveness. So this series of lessons may have given you the impression that we move from one archetype to another, one growth experience to another in sort of a linear fashion. However, we pass through the experiences, whereby we pass through the experiences, we learn from them, and then we're finished with them. So like we talked about the innocent, then we went to the orphan, and then, you know, the wanderer and so forth. It sounds like you went from one to the other and was done with the one you just passed through, okay? And it doesn't happen like that, all right? The process, however, is not linear. It's a circular or spiral process where you're continuously moving from one architect to another, one experience to another, and then back through the same archetype, the same experience, with the opportunity to learn even more about yourself. All right. So if you know, so typically when we go through an experience, we can only learn what we're ready to learn, even though the experience has a lot more to teach us. So we will cycle through that many times until we learn all we can. So if you notice, you know how I visit a Bible verse, I'll keep revisiting that Bible verse over and over again, each time looking at it from a different perspective, exploring another depth of its multidimensional process in order to learn more about new. So as I said to you, in the Bible, everything in the Bible you're reading has seven levels of understanding. You've heard me say that before, okay? The ego right away says, well, I want to know what all seven are. But the problem is if you don't get the first level, you can't understand the second level, right? So the process is you keep working with those verses until you get to deeper and deeper aspects of them. And as I said last week, when you're reading scripture, even if you don't understand what the scripture is saying, there is something inside of you that already knows the entire Bible, all right? So read it anyway and just keep reading it because you will begin to wake up inside of you that which you already know. So remember I explained to you that the word education, to educate, does not mean for the teacher to teach the student, but to awaken in the student that which the student already knows, all right? So that's sort of the process we're going through. So each time we enter the experience of an archetype, we're being given the opportunity to learn what we are willing and able to learn at that particular time. So when we re-enter the experience of an archetype, we have an opportunity to build on what we have already learned. Like Carl Jung says, every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation that came before them. And that's why these new little beings that are coming into the world can already pick up a phone and dial all the way through without you telling them anything, all right? So they have it in their DNA already. So the archetypical experience may have more to teach us, but usually we're not ready to receive all that it has to teach us at that time. So life cycles back to revisit the experience of the archetype, which is trying to teach you, and it'll do it time and time again, each time bringing us closer to a higher state of awareness. So remember we said experiences that we have, the real reason for them is not just intellectual awakening, but spiritual awakening. We're trying to get back to the truth of who we really are. So life is an experiential process resulting in the evolution of our consciousness to higher and higher states of awareness, to discovering who am I really. So remember, first great thing that happened was you were born. The second great thing that happens when you discover why. I thought that was so powerful. Why am I here? All right? So there are many different things that we will and must be willing to experience. Let me say that again. There are many different things that we will and must be willing to experience. Okay? For those who understand first force, second force, third force, first force is what I want. Third force is having it. But second force is what you have to go through to develop the consciousness to have what you think you want. And that's what we curse every day. Why, Lord, why do I have to go through this? You have to go through it in order to gain that which you say that you want. Okay? And so many times people think that because they're on a spiritual quest, they should not experience hardship. Right? Lord, I'm out here. I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. Why am I still going through all of this? Okay. So the author, Carol Pearson, who is the author of the book, Hero's Journey, that we've been working from, says, taking your hero's journey does not mean an end to life's problems. Taking your journey does not exempt you from illness, mortality, disappointment, betrayal, failure. But if you have faith in yourself and in the universe, life's challenges are much easier to bear, all right? So it's not just because you think you're on a spiritual path that nothing challenging is gonna happen. The challenges still have to happen. That's the process through which we learn, okay? So the author says further, because heroes are willing to confront their terrors, they are not limited so much by their fears, right? So if you're okay with the fact that stuff is gonna come up, then when it comes up, it doesn't devastate you, okay? So we spoke last week about those parts of ourselves that we exile to the outer reaches of our mind, the realm that's called the unconscious. And what we're referring to in this particular series is the valley of the shadow of death. So the problem with this, for people who are afraid to confront their fears, is that it severely limits the space within ourselves that we are willing to go to. Okay? If you know consciously or unconsciously that you have swept a lot of fearful, shameful, hateful stuff into the basement of your mind, you are never willing to venture into those darker regions of yourselves for fear of what you might find. Remember we said before that Sigmund Freud says we have 10 defense mechanisms we use to try to keep ourselves sane. And the number one is repression. Things we don't like to deal with, we repress them into our unconscious realm of mind so that we, you know, don't have to think about them, but they are still organic. They are still affecting our lives. And, you know, for the newcomers who haven't heard me say this before, the marketing industry is the number one thing that challenges and stirs up those unconscious realms to make you buy things and you don't really know why you're buying them. Okay? And so what they call subliminal advertising. You see it, but you don't see it. Okay? So the great mystics knew that it was only by using or by being willing to pass through, now listen to this, pass through the valley of the shadow of death, that they would be able to explore and learn about the secrets of divine love, wholeness, and healing that lies right within their own being, right? So remember, the key here is not hanging out in the valley of the shadow of death, but passing through. Yea, though I walk what? Through the valley of the shadow of death, okay? So the reward is on the other side. So being willing to enter the valley of the shadow of death takes us far beyond the outskirts of our conscious mind into the realm of the forgotten exile stuff about ourselves. So if you want to get to the truth of you, you've got to go through that valley experience. And this unwillingness to explore our shadow self may be the reason behind why so many people are not able to experience deep, fulfilling prayer. Because deep, fulfilling prayer takes us through the valley and to the deeper regions of our being where the light of God resides. And if we're not willing to pass through the valley, we cannot enter into the realm of deep, fulfilling prayer. Most of our prayer is very surface. Is God, please give me, or help me, or heal me, or all of those kind of things. But to really get to those things you're asking for, you got to get through all the stuff that you fear and get to the light of God. You got to get into that experience, that place where that which you're asking for is already yours. You follow what I'm saying? Everything we ask for in prayer is already yours. It's already mine. But we don't believe it's ours because we get to the valley and we go, I ain't going there. Right? Right? So to move through the valley takes a commitment, a devotion, a dedication to establish a sense of oneness with the Holy Spirit, meaning the whole spirit of our being. That aspect of God that expresses as a personal presence of that which is omnipresent. Now let me say that again. All right? All right, so to move through the valley, it takes a commitment, a devotion, a dedication to establish a sense of oneness with the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit? It is the whole spirit of our being. That aspect of God that expresses as the personal presence of that which is omnipresent. So God is omnipresent, everywhere present as a presence. But the Holy Spirit is the personal presence of God within you. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So a partial spirit cannot combine with the Holy Spirit and expect to experience true wholeness. So a partial spirit is me coming with only a little bit of myself because I've alienated so much of myself into the unconscious realm of my mind because I don't want to deal with it anymore. Is that, you're right? There's so much about me that I can't forgive, I can't let go of, I feel shameful about. You know, all those things that we're doing, you're not whole in that minute. So you're trying to completely engage the Holy Spirit with only a part of yourself. All right? So this kind of wholeness, thinking you are whole when you're got all these things about yourself you haven't been able to forgive or let go of, that kind of wholeness is an illusion. And if we continue to allow parts of ourselves, the unwanted, unloved parts, to lurk around in the darker regions of our unconscious mind, what we're referring to as the valley, then at some level we must realize that our quest for a wholeness is not what we say it is. In an effort to overcome this unwillingness, we must work with that affirmation, I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. So it's fine. You get ready to go into prayer and you're saying, God, I need help with all these things. Well, yes, you need help with all those things. Ask for the things you need help with. But the key here is that affirmation, I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth, is saying there's a truth that's greater than what I'm telling God I need. It's always like, you know, you heard me say before that operating from your soul is we have a tendency to not ask the right questions. If you're not asking the right questions, the answers that you're getting are not what you're really looking for. Okay? And so I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth transcends all the stuff within myself that I'm struggling with because I'm open and I'm receptive. I am open. Now, the key here is most of the time we're not open and receptive. We want to wallow in our stuff a little bit longer. And we want people to let us wallow in it and wallow with us. We want to have a wallow party. Okay? All right? And so we're talking about moving beyond that. See, we're working at affirming our readiness. I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth to be healed and to be healed deeply. So it's almost like anytime you find yourself struggling in life, the only prayer you need to pray is I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth to be healed and to be healed deeply, to be healed to a point where I realize that what I'm struggling with is an illusion created by my own mind. That's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in, okay? But, you know, hospitals and doctors and whatnot are doing more and more with working with people's minds as well as with their bodies. If you can get your mind to engulf this idea of wholeness, it'll actually aid all the things we're doing on a medical level. Does that make sense, you know? So prayer is an effort to ask God to help us with those parts of ourselves that we cannot help ourselves with. Does that make sense? It's an effort to ask God to help me with that which I can't help myself with. And as you heard me say so many times before, the ego cannot jump out of the ego. So if I believe that I have this self, low self-esteem, self-worth, you know, we'll go, well, I don't have low self-esteem, but then there'll be parts of our life where we'll definitely demonstrate it. You see what I'm saying? So if you're feeling that there's things about yourself that you just can't seem to get yourself out of, that's the idea of the ego cannot jump out of the ego. Sometimes it's hard to stop being who I am, even though I'm envisioning a higher self that I'd like to be. So again, in the marketing book, I talked about self-concept psychology, the real self, this is how I really am, the other self, this is how you perceive me to be, the ideal self, this is how I want to be, and the ideal other, this is how I want you to see me. So the real is always striving for the ideal, but sometimes when it gets to second force, that stuff we got to do to change, to be an ideal, we say, never mind. All right? So it's a constant process. It's always going on. So communication with God is as natural to us as breathing. Communication with God is as natural to us as breathing. But as it says in the Course in Miracles, you taught yourself the most unnatural habit of not communicating with your Creator. Yet you remain in close communication with God and with everything that is within God, as it is also within yourself. Unlearn isolation through God's loving guidance. And learn of all the happy communication that you have thrown away but could not lose. You know what I'm saying? Is that, you know, you got this chance to communicate with spirit, but you're not communicating with spirit. And you think you've lost it, but you can never lose anything that God is. Because God is always with you, always being that that guiding, protecting, comforting, dynamic energy that God is, even when you don't know that it is, but it's saying you're throwing that away because it's there, but you still can't lose it. That's powerful, okay? And as we journey through the valley of the shadow of death, that by the way, we created, you heard that, right? We go through the valley of the shadow of death that we created, we need to know that God is always present. So this is why David said in Psalm 23, 1 through 4, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? And thy staff, they comfort me. And the reason why they use rod and staff is because the sheep herder would protect his sheep. He would use the rod to beat off the wolves and the staff to, you know, keep the sheep in place, right? So the wolves in us are our own inner mental dynamics that are constantly eating away at our attempt to be at peace. Does it make sense? So the Lord is always in there working with us in this process, trying to keep us in line and, you know, helping us beat off those, as they talk about in Jungian psychology, the dragons in our mind, okay? And again, in the Course in Miracles, we read, whenever you are in doubt about what you should do, think of God being present in you as you, and tell yourself this and only this. He leads me and knows the way which I know not. Yet he will never keep me from what would be what he would have me to learn. And so I trust him to communicate to me all that he knows for me. Okay? So we're always being led. That leading process is a constant process. And it's sort of like you have to remove the idea of an anthropomorphic being that's leading you. It is not a man God that's leading you. There is. It's sort of like, you know, when the birds fly south and then they fly right back, you say, what, they got GPS or what? I mean, how do they know where to go or how to get back? What happens is in their brain, there is a magnet that connects to the magnet of the earth. And so their brain is communicating with this magnet in the earth, knowing where to go. And because they have that magnet, they know how to get back. So nature gave them their own internal GPS, right? We have the same GPS in us in terms of answering the question, why was I born? What am I doing here? That GPS is within us. So you have to don't think of like, God, why are you not talking to me? God has, it says in the creation story, God has completed what he's been doing, and it is done, and it is good. So he has given us all that we need in order to find our purpose. Does that make sense? All right? So when you're saying to yourself, why isn't God helping me? God has already helped you. You just need to pay attention to that which you have already been given to do. Okay? So this is what prayer is, asking for and being open to guidance through the valley of the shadow of death. Prayer is about letting God be God in you. Contacting God through prayer is about letting go of fear. We cannot be at one with God and be fearful at the same time. All right, we can perhaps feel God's presence next to us in our time of need, but as long as we are steeped in fear, we will find it difficult to experience true oneness with God. You cannot be fearful and at one with God at the same time, just as you cannot what? Serve two masters. You can't serve fear and serve God. You cannot be guided by fear and be guided by God. One or the other, you know, we have to make the choice, okay? And this is again why the greatest statement Jesus made in the Gospels is in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Now remember, I is God and the Father is God. So Jesus was not including the personality in that at all. You get it? I is God, the higher aspect of our own consciousness, and the Father we know is God. So Jesus was really not connecting his ego with God. He was connecting the truth of his being with God. Does that make sense? Okay, that's why he went from Jesus of Nazareth to Jesus Christ, one who is in the seven levels of consciousness, was getting towards that Christ consciousness, and then he became, after the resurrection, Christ Jesus. See, at the beginning, Jesus Christ is all of us in this room. You know, right? Sam Christ, Susie Christ, Pat Christ, all of us have the Christ after our name. Why? Because we were made in what? The image and likeness of God. So we were the only begotten is not just one person. The only begotten is the Christ, and the Christ exists in every one of us. Okay? But we are still personality trying to discover who we truly are. Does that make sense? That's why in those years between 12 and 30 that we don't see in Scripture, Jesus was studying with all the great masters because he's trying to remember who he was. So when he shows up again, now he remembers that this is who I am and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? So, and we were on that same journey, that time between 12 and, what is that, 18 years? Okay, we're in that journey right now, trying to discover who we really are. And so to support the statement, I and the Father are one. Oh, to support these two statements. The Father and I are one, or I and the Father are one, whichever one you like. And Paul's statement, for in God we live and breathe and have our being. It explains in the Course of Miracles, to be alone is to be separated from the infinite. To be alone is to be separated from the infinite. But how can this be if infinity has no end? No one can be beyond the limitless, because what has no limit must be everywhere. There is no beginning and no ending in God, whose universe is God's self. Can you exclude yourself from the universe or from God, who is the universe? I and the Father are one with you, for you are part of us. Do you really believe that part of God can be missing or lost? Isn't that deep? So if you are not part of God, God would not be unified. Is this conceivable? Can part of God's mind contain nothing? If your place in God's mind cannot be filled by anyone except you, and your filling it was your creation, without you, there would be an empty place in God's mind. This is inconceivable and impossible. That means everything we do, everything you do, every thought you have, every feeling you have, every emotion you have is happening in the body of God. You get it? So God is not out here, what Paul said, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. It says it right in Scripture, that you're in the body of God. We are the fish in the ocean. Okay? So we are part of that which we say is up there. Yeah, it's up there, but it's also in here. It is everywhere present as a presence. Okay? So in truth, we all know that there cannot be an empty place in God's mind. So this journey that we're taking is actually a journey in the mind that is God. The valley of the shadow of death only exists because we give it both its existence and its inhabitants. All right? So when you see in Scripture, it's talking about people. Those people are people thoughts in our own mind. So if you heard me say many, many times, when Joseph and Mary, wisdom and love, came into the inn, and they said, there is no room in the inn. They said, there is no room in the inn for you. Because the inn was full of thought people. So the inn is our own mind, full of our own thoughts. So when wisdom and love try to enter into it, we say, I'm sorry, there's no room here for you. Because my mind is full of my own party people. Right? I got the little party going on in my hand. What was that thing that Calista used to walk? I want to come to the party in your belly or something, that little kid show. Yeah, I want to come to, there's a party. And it was interesting. Everybody wants to come to the party in our head. So our head is full of this stuff. And when wisdom and love, and they're trying to produce a Christ idea in you come, you say, I'm sorry, there's no room here for you. That's deep. All right? And we say it in a variety of different ways. So our journey calls for us to find those abandoned parts of ourselves that in many cases have become dragons, or what Sun Bear, you heard me talk about Sun Bear, in his book Walk in Balance called Mind Creatures. Our work is to find these mind creatures in ourselves, call them by our name, reform them with our love, heal them with our forgiveness. Okay? And the more of the exiled parts of ourselves that we uncover and heal, the easier our journey through the valley into the light of God becomes within ourselves. And the author Carol Pearson says, the more we're able to let go of our fears, the more we can tap into the life force. So when we are fearful, it's like we're pulling ourselves out of the life force. You cannot ever be out of the life force, but you can feel like you're out of the life force, all right? So the more we're able to let go of our fears, the more we can tap into the life force. When we are continuously afraid, we are not okay. And we cannot tap into the basic spiritual energy available inside of us, all right? So the spiritual energy is ours for the taking. Spiritual energy is ours for the taking. It's like that movie with, can't think of his name. He was caught in the wilderness and a bear was chasing them. No, not that one. Anyway, bear was chasing, he was an executive. He didn't know anything about the wilderness. He was an executive, a famous actor. Anthony Hopkins, thank you. Yeah, and the bear was after him and his assistant. And he said the only thing that caused, the thing that causes people to die in the wilderness is fear. And they give up. So the thing that causes us to die inside is fear and giving up, okay? But the spiritual energy that's around is yours for the taking. So what we're waiting, what are we waiting for? You know, what are we waiting for to take this journey? The journey is inevitable, and there is no better time than right now to take that journey, okay? So I'm going to leave you with this affirmation. It's from this month's Science of Mind magazine. No matter what the situation, I make the choice as to how I will respond. Starting now, I choose a life that is peaceful, loving, and joyous. Amen.